In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
You know, on this show, every now and then, we talk about what it means to be a caregiver for somebody, you know, in your family, an older person, a parent, maybe even a grandparent, and how difficult of a job that is. But for a lot of people who are doing that, they are also raising kids, taking care of children. It is called the sandwich generation. To talk about that with us, Dr. Gregory Jantz is a psychologist and author of the book, Conquer Depression, Seven Secrets to Take Back Your Life. Dr. Jantz is with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time today. How are you?
Oh, good to be with you. You know, as a mental health professional, as a counselor, I've got to tell you, we're seeing more of this. Individuals, you know, you've got maybe teenagers at home, and you're also trying to care for aging parents. Talk about a challenge.
Yeah, how much more prevalent is that now in 2025 than it was maybe 25 years ago or even prior to that?
Well, more, it is absolutely more common. And part of it is we're doing more of keeping parents and elderly parents generally nearby or in the home. We're seeing more and more of that. So where parents are moving in the home of, you know, one of their kids, maybe they're married kids. And then there is a whole couple generations there in the household. And, you know, by the way, let's just say, if you're a caregiver and you're caring just for aging parents or an aging loved one, that's a very special place to be. And you know it if you're in that, because after a while, you get worn out, you get tired, you may find your personality's changing, you get irritable, and you lose patience. So there is an emotional, and I'm going to say physical exhaustion that just goes along with caregiving.
Yeah, and then you factor into that, you know, increasingly, I think in this society, your kids work, and they get married and they have kids, and so you know there's times where you've got four generations of people in your house, and that happens more often than you think, and that's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot emotionally. It's a lot in the same space. And add this in, there's a lot of expectations that things are supposed to be a certain way. Or let's say you have, you know, kids in the house, and maybe they're teenagers. And there's the expectation that your teenager is going to help bit here. But remember, a teenager, they're self-absorbed. They're in their own world. Oftentimes, they're not real sensitive to the needs of those around them. And so then you get even more frustrated because it's like, my kids should be helping.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely the frustration and the difficulty, is that people who are caregiving for somebody older, whether it's the kids not helping or anybody not helping, they just feel like there isn't a whole lot of help for them. So when they have that, what can they do about it?
Okay. Self-care, and I don't mean to just brush over this, but your own self-care, which includes It's going to include sleep. And I used to work in sleep research, and this is a big area. If you're a caregiver, you're going to need to do self-care and sleep. Now, self-care can be as simple as, okay, my nutrition matters. Make sure you're taking care of you. And when people are stressed out, they tend to drink less water. Instead of 10, 12 cups of coffee, okay, I want you to get your water intake up and always have a source of protein in the morning. Just set yourself off for a good brain day by having that protein in the morning. Super important. And you know, the other thing, you've got to get out. Maybe it's a 20-minute walk, but you've got to get into a pattern of renewal. So get into this, I'm going to renew my mind, I'm going to get outside, I'm going to, and you just got to get moving again. Just those two breaks a day of 20-minute walks can be really substantial for your emotional well-being. I know, it sounds simple, but it's really important.
Yeah, and you talk about a lack of sleep. That's something that I have experienced as well. And I think we tend to dismiss the importance of getting a proper night's sleep because it makes a world of difference.
You know, it does for our mental and emotional well-being. We forget that. And if you have very disrupted sleep or not enough sleep or you're suffering from insomnia, maybe you have sleep apnea where you stop breathing during the night, but there's disruptive sleep. I'm just going to say that really does have to be addressed because over time, if you're not cycling through those sleep cycles as you need to, you're going to begin to feel probably depression, probably anxiety, and it's going to go back and be related to just that disruptive sleep.
That's really interesting. And you talk about the increasing phenomenon of parents moving in with their adult children.
Yes,
in some cultures, that's
normal.
The norm, right?
Yeah.
In some cultures, it is the norm. And it's like, okay, so what's the big deal? Because where we live, this is what you do. And so there's judgments about it. It hasn't been the norm in our culture. And, I'm faced with this right now. I've been in the helping professions 41 years, and I can tell you I've seen a lot. But I also see how the dynamics change, how the pressure changes when you invite an elderly parent or parents into the home. Caregiving is exhausting. Let's just say that. But there's also, we want to have the right attitude. Hopefully we can do it out of love. Hopefully if there's some end-of-life issues that we need to resolve with a parent or a loved one, we got a little time to do that. And so it's our frame of reference that's so important. It's actually going to be a pretty short season. If you have a parent or parents in your home, look at our lifespan. That's going to be generally a pretty short season. And it can be meaningful, tiring, but meaningful, or we can turn it into a lot of resentment.
Dr. Jantz, you've written dozens of books on, just mental health and depression and this book here about this, Conquer Depression. Is there something that people don't quite understand about it that maybe if they did, it could help them out in a really big way?
Depression and anxiety are the most common issues in our country. Anxiety is the number one diagnosis. We work with clients from all over the country. And I have to tell you, anxiety and depression are huge. And people are suffering. And here's what I really believe we need to understand. There's hope. And hope comes when there's a plan. So sometimes we need help. Well, what's my plan? Do I have depression or anxiety? Because is it physiological issues? Is it hormonal? Is it low thyroid? Is it brain chemistry? This is why that whole person approach that we do is so important, because you got to look, okay, there's more than one reason. Maybe I've lived a stressed out life here for a while and my body's feeling it. But there's also relationship stress, workplace stress, all that can create a lot of depression and anxiety. So we've got to have a whole person plan to cover every area of your life so that we can really have a true sense of hope and sustainable recovery.
So let me ask you this. What is it specifically about grandchildren? I've got two young grandchildren now that are in town, and it just has opened my heart. And is that a thing psychologically?
I love your question. This is so good. Yes, because there's something about loving grandkids, and it's different than your own kids. And there's something that's hard to articulate, but it's a precious care for our grandkids. But on the flip side, we may tend to really worry about them. We go, oh, look at the culture now. It's so different. And you may also have a difference in parenting than how your kids are parenting your grandkids. So, you know, one word comes to mind, grace. Got to give a lot of grace, and a lot of it depends on the age of the grandkids. But it is very special, and I think we want to enjoy and return them to their parents, and then repeat that cycle. Enjoy, but return. And we don't need to be in conflict over things that probably are not going to matter for the long run.
His latest book is Conquer Depression, 7 Secrets to Take Back Your Life. Dr. Gregory Jantz, J-A-N-T-Z, just look him up because he's written a dozens of books on depression and mental health, and you should learn more about him. Dr. Jantz, thank you for being with us.
Hey, good to be with you today. Thank you.
John Hancock and Chris Ranji with you on the Chris and Amy Show. We will talk to Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett, next on KMOX.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Woo. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Major News with Major Garrett. Our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
He's also the host of The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. Major Garrett normally joins us on Thursday. We're talking to him on this Friday, however. Major, it is good to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm fine. How is everyone in St. Louis?
We could not be better. It's getting warm today, if you like that kind of thing. So we're
good. Well, it's summertime. It's about that time of season for
it,
that.
It right? sure is. Right. We just had earlier today our good friend Michael Kelly, who was on the station here, who is also a good friend of one of your most recent guests on The Takeout, Chuck Rocha, who was really hoping to talk to you about that, but he couldn't be here.
Oh, well, I will tell everyone. So we have The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. As I let everyone know this week as we were debuting the show, it is a hybrid program. It's a TV show that has to live within the harsh confines of structured, timed television. But we also do long-form interviews, as The Takeout always did. And when we run a portion of those interviews on the time-constricted TV show, we always run the full interview on the YouTube page. It's also on the podcast platform. So you can see our work in both forms, things that have to live within the confines of TV, internet TV, just like broadcast TV. There are commercial breaks. You got to hit them and all that sort of stuff. But on the podcast platform and the YouTube page, you can see all the full-blown interviews. And we have a long one with Chuck Rocha, who's not just a Democratic strategist. He has a fascinating life story that we go into in great detail.
Yeah, Texan. And you talked about his life story. He spent a considerable amount of time with Congressman Dick Gephardt from right here in St. Louis. Did you get into any of those stories?
A little bit, but much more of his origin story. Growing up in East Texas, rural East Texas, raised primarily by his two grandparents. He had a single mother. They struggled financially very much. He was a laborer from a very early age at a tire factory in Tyler, Texas, became a union shop steward, rose in union leadership, got into a scrape financially because, as he admits, he fudged his expense accounts a little bit. Federal prosecutors got very aggressive on that. He had to plead guilty to malfeasance, didn't serve any jail time, but he has a conviction on his record. That's not something that most people in the political consulting world have as part of their resume. Chuck Rocha has pushed through that, succeeded anyway. And his life story, he said to us in my conversation with him, is sort of a reminder that people, A, make mistakes. People, B, can and should get a second chance. And redemption stories are real.
Major, this week, a federal court ruled that the sweeping tariffs are something that Donald Trump is not able to do. And, of course, there's going to be a process of appealing that. So what do you think happens next with all of this?
So very quickly, what the president did was he declared an economic emergency. He said the trade deficit constituted an economic emergency. No one's ever done that before in our history. It was a never before tried interpretation of a existing law, which if you declare emergency, the White House says, then you can do whatever you want with tariffs. People sued and said, no, the Constitution is very clear. Tax revenue has to be generated through the Congress. And historically, when tariffs were applied, when we were a tariff-based economy, not an income tax-based one, that's meaning our revenue came from tariffs, not income taxes, Congress approved the tariffs. Presidents did not apply them unilaterally. There were other powers this White House could have used that would have been closer to the law. They decided not to use them. Why? Because they take time. They wanted the fastest, most shocking way to create this global tariff conversation and convulsions, and they got it. But there are legal challenges that are probably going to inhibit those powers. And the White House is already trying to figure out its plan B and plan C. Those plan Bs and plan Cs were available to them all along. They were much probably closer to the law and legally enforceable. but they would have taken more time. They didn't want to wait. They wanted the shock and awe of reciprocal tariffs to every global trading partner, even islands near Australia that are not populated by anything other than penguins got the tariffs. And because of that speed, they may find themselves confronting some legal barriers.
So there are avenues, I'm thinking specifically about national security, where the president does have that kind of authority.
And where it's for a national security-related industry, steel,
right.
Those are in. And there's a process by which you make that determination. The administration did that in its first term with steel and aluminum. That's a process that can go on. It just takes time.
Sure.
But these other things that were across the board, they declared the economic emergency and then said to themselves, now that we've declared the emergency, we now have these powers.
Yeah.
Again, that's never been tried before. That's why the courts are taking a very long look at it.
And the administration is calling them reciprocal tariffs. But in fact, there are some of these countries that there were no tariffs in place, and we have now placed one on them. Yep. A 10%.
Applied them, exactly. Exactly. And there's other potential legal challenges, because in doing this, declaring this national emergency, the president tore up a bunch of existing congressionally approved trade agreements with Canada, with Mexico, with Japan, with South Korea. Again, stepping over authorities, at least shared historically by the executive branch and the legislative branch, now taken over entirely by the executive branch. And the Justice Department lawyers have said, well, you can't stop us now. We're in the middle of these negotiations. Well, were you correctly applying the law in starting all these negotiations? Well, if you weren't, it doesn't matter if they're pending. If you can't do them, you can't do them. And these are parts of a divided government, which we have. We don't have a unitary government where the elected president can do whatever the elected president decides on all manner of things. There are components where the president does have latitude, but there are areas where he doesn't. And we will test those. And courts are constitutionally established to review on which line those applications of federal power, executive power, land.
The big, beautiful bill has the support of Republicans in Congress. But what sort of fight are we looking at when it comes to this bill?
So, and, you know, I would be hesitant to call it the big, beautiful bill because that's a marketing slogan. But they've actually applied the marketing slogan to the legislative language itself. That's its actual legislative name, believe it or not. So we all are sort of at some level duty bound to call it the big, beautiful bill because that's what it's actually called in Congress. It's going to pass. Trust me. These things always do. Always. I've been covering reconciliation bills, of which this is, since 1990. There is an inevitability to them. I can't tell you when, can't tell you what all the component parts are going to be, but it will pass. There's an aggressive timeline to get it done before July 4th. That seems doubtful, but not impossible. The Memorial Day deadline for the House passage seemed doubtful for a while, and it happened. So Republicans are in the traces on this. They want to get it locked in. The Senate's going to rewrite the bill, then the House would have to reconsider it. There are areas about Medicaid that are going to get a sharp look. There are things about whether or not there's going to be high deductions for state and local taxes for places like New Jersey, New York, and California. All those things are going to get a look at. There's a small number of Senate Republicans who want this bill to cut much more spending and to be much more deficit conscious than it currently is. But unless there are four of them who are prepared to defy the president and vote no and kill it, at least for the moment, those may just be rhetorical flourishes that don't change the bill all that much. We're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, when the Senate starts grinding through this process, who's real and who's not real in terms of raising objections sufficient to slow the bill's progress. If there's four who can do it, then this thing's going to take longer than the president wants.
Before we let you go, Major Garrett, this plane from Qatar, however you pronounce that.
Qatar.
Where does it stand right now? They want some kind of a recognition that the White House requested it. Is that where things stand?
Well, so it all sounded sort of easy at first. Well, they offered and I accepted. Okay, sure. They offered and you accepted. All right, if you're a transactional president, that sounds plausible. And there is a very definite transactional nature to Donald Trump. That's not a news flash. Everyone has seen it. It's baked into the cake of expectations about President Trump. But it's much more difficult than that. On what basis is it being gifted to the Air Force? How is the Pentagon receiving it? What are the obligations for retrofitting it? Who pays for that? Is there money available to retrofit this plane? Trust me, the 747 will have to be taken apart almost piece by piece, put back together with all sorts of other things that only an Air Force One flying office and fortress possesses. This gifted plane doesn't have any of that stuff. So it has to be taken apart entirely. Who pays for that? And then what happens after the service of this current president? He wants to take it to his library, his presidential library. On what basis? Is that a gift from the government, our government, to his presidential libraries? Is it a gift from the Qataris to the presidential library of Donald Trump? If it is, if it's a gift like that, there's something that stands between that. The Constitution, which says no prince, king, or nation can give a gift or an emolument to an occupier of a federal office. Well, guess what? The Qataris are all three, prince, king, and nation.
Major Garrett, who's on the takeout today?
So we have a couple of things in the works. This show's developing. You know, we don't have a tent pole newsmaker guest like we had yesterday. We had Tom Holman, the immigration czar, and the New York Governor Kathy Hochul on the program yesterday. But we're going to go over a lot of the tariff stuff. We have Ed O'Keefe in Pittsburgh, where President's going to have a rally about U.S. steel staying in America, going to be owned by Nippon Steel of Japan. We don't know exactly all the details of that deal. Well, we do know that Trump was against it before he was for it. He's for it now. Talk about China and his sort of near hysterical sound bites from the president about where things stand in negotiations with China. Plus, we have a White House press conference with Elon Musk and the president. All that will be ground up and handled on the takeout tonight.
And past episodes on CBSNews.com. You can watch the takeout there. Major Garrett, we will talk to you on Thursday.
I look forward to it. Thanks.
Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, visiting with us again, CBSNews.com. If you missed the show, The Takeout with Tom Holman and Kathy Hochul, that was yesterday. So we recommend you do it. Major is fantastic and joins us normally every Tuesday at 10:30 on 104.1 FM KMOX. I am of the mindset that managers in baseball matter, but we overrate them. I believe Scott Miller, who contributes to the New York Times, he's an MLB reporter. I think he disagrees. We'll talk to him next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. T&Cs apply.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oliver Marmol comes out. Ollie walks about halfway to the plate, and he's been kicked out of the game. Now he'll go out and get his 2 cents in.
And somebody else just got thrown out while I was saying that, and that was the Cardinal manager. And DJ Rayburn's getting an earful now from Ollie.
Oh, goodness. It's a nice shouting match going on, and Oliver's not going to go quietly. And Oliver Marmol and Dreckman are still shouting at each other, and Ollie turns and heads back to the dugout as he has been ejected.
And Ollie Marmol, he's got a few things to say. And Ollie's getting his money's worth.
I think my favorite thing that happens on the Gas House Gang, which we have on at 12 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday, is when we have somebody who's watching the show or listening and texts in or writes a comment on YouTube or Facebook or whatever and says, hey, Ollie, you should get ejected more because every time you do, they win. It's a fun part of baseball, I think, is watching managers get ejected. And I have long argued that we might overrate baseball managers in general. And if you've listened to any shows here on KMOX, you've heard people going after Ollie Marmol for a long time. When they weren't winning, they have been winning this year, so it's a little bit different. But I think we overvalue just how much influence a manager has on what happens on the field. Somebody who might disagree with that is Scott Miller, MLB contributor to New York Times. And his new book is called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And Skipper is available now. Scott Miller, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Nice to be with you guys. What would make you think I might disagree with that?
Well, the title of the book, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. Why am I wrong?
Oh, how much time do you have?
Let's see.
Oh,
25
I'm kidding.
Minutes.
I'm kidding. No, that's why I wrote the book, because a lot of people feel the way you do. And in today's world, there are arguments to be made in that vein. Years ago when managers had full and complete authority, back in the Whitey Herzog days, you know, they'd shape teams to their image. They'd strategy was so much of a bigger thing back in the day. The bunt, the hit and run, the suicide squeeze, whatever. And that's all been kind of taken out of the game, over the past 20 years via analytics. And so I think the job of managing is important today. And I say it always will be. But today is in a different way. You know, the book looks it starts in the late 70s, around the time computers are just being first sold to the public. And little did anybody know at that point in the late 70s what the computer thing would turn into. But anyway, you know, you had Whitey Herzog and Billy Martin and Sparky Anderson, all these guys that, you know, like Tony La Russa used to say, the one name managers, Earl, you know, you knew who that was, Earl Weaver in Baltimore, and Tony, you knew, and Sparky. And anyway, the book carries from then to now, and it looks at what the job of the manager was like then, what it's like today, which is completely different, and it's important in different ways than it was 50 years ago. And it, you know, I look at, you know, kind of how we got from then to now and why we went from then to now.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm thinking of Lou Piniella. And if you say Lou, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But right now, if you say Aaron, I guess you'd say, well, you must mean, you must be talking about the Yankees manager, probably. But it's not like a household name in that way. So it is interesting that you say
like
that.
Basically. Well, and what's so also interesting about that whole thing is, today's managers are in your face as a television viewer, as a sports fan, more than their predecessors, because you know, with regional sports networks and every game's on TV now, you know, back in the 70s, you know, I mean, I remember growing up in Michigan, you know, I mean, you know, summertime would come, I'm a kid, I'm like, each week I'm looking at the Tigers TV schedule because, you know, you get two or three games a week on TV. You know, you didn't get every game on TV, and those were special nights. Whereas today, every game's on TV, and more than that, every manager's press conference is on TV. So it is amazing because you're right. You say Aaron, and you have to stop and think, well, Aaron Boone, must be Aaron Boone of the Yankees. But, I mean, he does a, you know, pregame press briefing, postgame press briefing, 162 games a year, most of which are televised. And so the manager's always on the screen, and yet they're more anonymous than ever.
So one of my main arguments against the influence of managers, and I clearly they can help create a good clubhouse environment, which is important to the team. You can't quantify how much it helps, but it does help. It does something. But my argument against it is, you know, on a given game, there are what, maybe about 300 pitches thrown on both sides, about give or take. And on each one of those pitches, the team has the ability to score. The manager can't do that. Manager cannot hit a home run. Manager cannot induce a double play ball or get a strikeout. So is there some argument there that they're just not as influential as people might think they are?
Well, you could make that argument, but then, you know, you flip it around. I mean, you know, look at how many pitching changes there are today. Look at how, you know, how much of that is going on, you know, whereas, you know, Earl Weaver, the year in Baltimore where they had 420 game winners, you know, he just rolled Mike Cuellar out one day and Pat Dobson the next and Jim Palmer and Dave McNally and, you know, sat back and, like Earl always said, waited for the three-run homer and his, you know, meanwhile, let the, you know, his ace starting pitcher go eight innings or a complete game even. And he had very, very little or very few decisions to make when it comes to the bullpen. So I think strategy wise, it's different as well. And I know also managers meet, you know, obviously it's covered extensively in the book. You know, I mean, there are analytics meetings every single day, you know, and that doesn't mean the manager sits down with, you know, all 45 people of the analytics department, you know, going over everything. But, you know, one or two or three of those guys will pop in. They'll have a discussion. What about tonight's game? What are you thinking? You know, starting pitcher was taxed last time out. So this time, you know, we may have to go to the bullpen early. And if we do, okay, we got these options. And who do we want to use tonight? So it's more of a group think and a group decision. But that said, you know, the manager's still a guy in the dugout having to, you know, pull the strings. And like I say, I think strategy-wise, there's an importance today in a different way, as I just laid out. But, yeah, no doubt in today's world clubhouse culture, and that's where a manager really, you know, makes his bones. I mean, look at, you know, Dave Roberts, I spent 4 or 5 days shadowing, and there's a chapter devoted to him. And, you know, I mean, you know, what the Dodgers have done, I mean, him keeping those egos and everybody together and build, you know, keeping such a great culture where everybody wants to come to work every day. You know, I think you look at the last, you know, handful of World Series winners, and there's a commonality there, you know, Dodgers with Dave Roberts, you know, Houston wins with Dusty Baker, you know, Texas won with Bruce Bochy's first year, Atlanta won recently with Brian Snitker. You know, you're seeing, you know, the kind of the combination of the old school guys that are still very effective and a newer school guy like a Roberts who is just a master at communication and building human relationships. And I think that can, I mean, you're right. I mean, Dave Roberts isn't going to, you know, go out and order Ohtani to hit a three-run homer. It helps that Ohtani's on the roster.
Right. So that was what I was going to say is, like, yes, he does have to manage personalities, but also he's got Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and, you know, Teoscar Hernandez. He's got some of the best players in the world on his team right now.
No doubt. And that's the other thing about, you know, obviously managers have to have good players. I mean, you know, you could be Connie Mack with you know, last year's White Sox, and I don't think Connie Mack is going to look like a very good manager. So you're right. It's so hard to quantify. It's such an interesting topic, and it's so nebulous and hard to quantify you know, and that's what I think drives people nuts today too, because we've reached a point where we can quantify almost everything. And, you know, managing is still something that's hard. You know, I mean, you look back at a couple years ago when the Phillies, well, a couple of things. This year, Colorado fires Bud Black. Pittsburgh fires Derek Shelton. Again, my Connie Mack example. I mean, those two teams, oh, my God, especially the Rockies. You know, I don't care if Bud Black or Sparky Anderson's managing that team. In that case, the manager isn't really going to make a difference. But you also can pull examples from recent past. A couple years ago when the Phillies advanced to the World Series, remember they started the year with Joe Girardi as their manager, mm-hmm. and they were not good. And Dave Dombrowski made the move in early June to fire Girardi and bring Rob Thompson in as manager. And like, that's an example where I think the manager really made a difference, because, you know, the players were, they were so uptight under Girardi, and nobody was having fun, and you know, everybody was pressing. And the minute Rob Thompson came in, like, everything changed, and that was the right guy in the right place, and they ran all the way to the World Series that year.
So you mentioned earlier, and our guest, by the way, Scott Miller, his new book is called Skipper. It's a fascinating look at the life of a baseball manager. You talked about Whitey Herzog earlier. And
yep.
The Cardinals built a team for the stadium, but they also built a team that played the kind of baseball, the brand of baseball that Whitey Herzog preferred. And he was the general manager as well at that time. That's very rare, if it ever anymore, in baseball. How much how much control does the manager have over roster construction? Does it vary from team to team?
You know, it varies a little bit, but a lot less than they used to. You know, I mean, yeah, guys like Sparky and Tom Kelly in Minnesota and you know, Whitey Herzog. I mean, they could call the shots and say, I want this guy, I don't want this guy. And chances are, I mean, the general manager was still responsible for roster construction. But in those days, the general manager would listen a lot more to the manager. Whereas today, you know, again, because it's not just a general manager or president of baseball operations, it's a whole baseball operations department. And they've got the whole philosophy and you know, the numbers and the analytics. And so today it's more the baseball operations department telling the manager, you know, these are the players we like, versus the old days. So that's definitely flipped.
Lastly here, before we let you go, of course, we're following the National League Central race, what's going to happen here through 2 months. So looking at this division, I think it's interesting. With the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Reds, and I'm not quite sure what to think of the Brewers, and we know the Pirates are out of it. So how do you see the National League Central?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a classic, you know, a lot of fun this summer, classic National League Central scramble. I'm on the Cardinals bandwagon. I think, you know, you reach Memorial Day weekend, that's traditionally been, each summer, one of the first kind of legitimate guideposts of the season. And, you know, I remember way back when I was covering the Twins, you know, I learned Paul Molitor, the Hall of Famer, you know, I asked him something early one year, and he said, yeah, it takes a couple months to get into the season and kind of figure out what team you have. And that's where we're at, Memorial Day. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think the Cardinals obviously figuring out they've got a way better team than at least outsiders expected. And internally, I think the way they play together, I mean, obviously Victor Scott, you know, starting the season with him in center field was a masterstroke, and the way Mason Wynn's playing, the defense. I love the contact hitting too. I think that's more of a, you know, you heard about Moneyball way back in the day, on base percentage, and the A's were able to take advantage of inefficiencies in the game. And the way analytics is, everybody wants the home run, home run, home run. I really think contact hitting is kind of the current inefficiency of the game. You get a contact hitting team like the Cardinals. I mean, every night they're punching out 10, 12, 14 hits. And when you've got guys up and down the lineup that can put the ball in play instead of strike out, you know, good things can happen when you put the ball in play. And, you know, I mean, in the last week I've watched a handful of Angels games, not that the Cardinals played the Angels, but it seems like every time I turn the Angels on, it's like 5 minutes the TV's on and there's two errors I see them make. So if you put the ball in play, the other guys aren't necessarily going to catch it. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, the Cubs obviously off to a good start. I think Cardinals feel really good about themselves. You know, the Brewers, like you said, you know, we kind of expect them to be there in the end, but I don't see a lot of separation. I think it's going to be a lot of fun all summer long.
Scott Miller, author of the new book, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will, writes for the New York Times. Love talking with Scott Miller, and we appreciate it again, my friend. Thank you for visiting with us. I wasn't going to brag or anything, but did you know that this show, this Chris and Amy show, is up for the St. Louis A-List, St. Louis Magazine A-List?
I saw that. Yeah, and the great producer.
In the arts and entertainment. Well, not anymore after you just screwed that up. Who's going to vote for us now?
Just us.
Apparently, this has been going on for a bit, and you can vote until June 16th every day. Go vote for us under the arts and entertainment section.
I'll
the
do that.
Chris and Amy show. What was it for news talk? Is it the talk show?
Yeah, midday talk show.
I don't think it's midday. It was like news talk show, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway, go vote for us. Because if we win, we can throw it in Steve's face when he complains about something. Oh, yeah? Well, look at this, A-List. Speaking of A-List, we're going to have Jeremy Piven on the show Wednesday.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven, the actor, you know, Entourage and whatnot. So he's going to be on with us. Looking forward to talking to him. Also looking forward to a St. Louis haboob.
What?
We're not getting a haboob, Matt, but we are getting Saharan dust into next week. I guess there's something with the... I don't understand the weather. But apparently it's going to be hazy and smoky. There's Canada smoke that we're going to be getting starting over the weekend. And then Saharan dust.
From Africa. That's Sahara.
It's yes. There's only one Saharan desert. Like
the sand crosses the ocean.
Well, yeah. If it gets up in the the jet stream there. I just sounded like Hancock, didn't I?
Well, you know, it's in the jet stream up there.
You know, up there in the jet stream. Yeah. So we're getting Saharan dust, but no haboob. They got a Chicago haboob a couple of weeks ago. We missed out on that. Hey, listen. Thank you for listening to us, and come back next week because we're giving away Cody Johnson tickets all week. You're going to love that.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Woo. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.